I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, Gina.
Hi, Ayoni. Hi, everyone. I'm Gina, the senior editor of Polyester.
The very nasal today, senior editor of Polyester.
Not very well, editor of Polyester.
And I'm Ayoni, the founding editor-in-chief of Polyester. And this is the Polyester Podcast, a feminist pop culture podcast dissecting the discourse on a weekly basis.
Before we start, if you're a fan of this podcast, please make sure to like, rate and subscribe. And if you really love us, you can sign up for a poll. And if you really love us, you can sign up for a podcast membership where you can join our Discord and get on our Instagram close friends for only £3 a month. Do we have any reviews, Ayoni?
We do. 5 stars, incredible podcast, one of my favourites, love their thorough insight and detail, by Pammies via Apple Podcasts in the US of A.
Yay! Thank you. Thank you for your kindness in this moment of trouble in my life.
Today we are tackling a beast.
Oh, I know. I thought it would end up being a two-parter, but I think we can just rage for half hour and fly through it.
We are talking about Taylor Swift. Obviously, we've covered Taylor Swift before, me and Eden, with the Matty Healy relationship, so we're not really going to go there that much. Although, I did want to mention that the day after that podcast episode came out, I actually saw Joe Alwyn in the street.
Wow.
Taylor Swift sex.
All the stars have aligned.
Yeah, I was like, wow, is he listening to the podcast?
He's texting his mates being like, guys, you'll never guess what, I've just seen Ayoni Gamble in the street.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Joe Alwyn, I think that's how you say it, but like, can people not shout at me, please? Thank you. So speaking of group chats, Joe Alwyn and texting, Taylor Swift has announced her next album called The Tortured Poets Department, which allegedly is a dig at Joe Alwyn, because he has like a group chat with Paul Mescal and Andrew Scott called like the Tortured Sad Man's Department or something. I don't know.
That was such a good segue. Speaking of group chats.
I'm a professional.
I really liked it.
So everyone's saying that it's going to be like a diss album, which seems like a strange thing to do if you're really into your new boyfriend, but who am I?
Well, isn't that like a whole gag, like the whole time? Like that's how she always reels people in, is by going really heavy into details about her like past relationships.
Yeah, that's true, but like with Joe it was like her relationship was quite mysterious with him, right? Like not a lot of people knew, and so now everyone's expecting the big drop and for him to be a comp, but he is rallying against those allegations. Knowingly or unknowingly, he signed the letter for ceasefire in Gaza, and he's also been wearing an Artist for Ceasefire pin wherever he goes, which everyone is being like, well, there you go. He's obviously a good person then.
Yeah, but she's going to do a song being like, he left his gloves at my house. What a cunt. And then all the girl, he's going to be posting like one glove that they've kept from like the ex-boyfriend for 5 years, being like, she gets me.
And in contrast, Taylor Swift has not spoken up in support of Palestine. She did attend like a comedy show where all of the proceeds went to aid in Gaza, but she hasn't made a public statement, so a lot of people are annoyed at her about that.
Yeah, people are really pissed off that the whole Super Bowl thing happened and it was made into such a spectacle, specifically her being there with her boyfriend winning it, when all this is going on in Palestine.
Rafah as well, with exactly, like the later stuff. Yeah, I agree. It was very like, I think just as someone who is on social media and like a voyeur, I suppose, of both of these situations, which is a weird way to word it. But you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Someone seeing these things unfold, it is uncanny to see, like, dead child, and then Taylor Swift kissing Travis Kelce, and then, like, a bomb dropped, and then Travis Kelce screaming Viva Las Vegas into a microphone for 2 minutes. Like, it did feel like one of the most uncanny valley moments in, like, what has been, obviously, like, a disgusting display of humanity and what's happened.
Yeah, I really don't blame the people who are like, this is a psyop, like, this is them trying to distract us from it, like, she's been enlisted in it. Like, it does kind of, like, put me on edge, like, either it just feels purposeful, like, she's pointedly not speaking out, and then she's got this big relationship and also this big album about an ex, so she doesn't have to, I suppose. Like, she can just be like, oh, I'm dealing with all this emotional stuff, which is something that she's done her whole career to avoid talking on politics. Like, she's been very strictly apolitical for her whole time she's been in the limelight, pretty much, apart from, I think she did, like, one thing against Trump, maybe.
And then she had to speak out and endorse the Democrats and say that she wasn't a Trump supporter, because literally there was, like, such a groundswell of the right, like, Trump supporting right wing claiming her as their own kind of thing. And it got so big. And remembering that she did, like, a Netflix documentary, I think it was in 2016, where she was like, she had to, like, set the record straight or whatever. And, like, it made out, I watched, like, the first 10 minutes of it when it came out, but it was honestly so boring. I could not finish it. But it was, like, loads of it was, like, her dad was her manager or something, or, like, he has a big control over her career. And he was being like, no, don't speak out, you have to be apolitical. And she was being like, please, I really want to support the Democrat. Sorry, it's not funny, but it is funny in the context of and Trump.
It's so just, like, embarrassing to, A, blame your dad, be like, make this whole hoo-ha in a literal Netflix documentary, and then resolutely go back to just being apolitical. Like, I'd love to, but I can't because of my career. Like, no, the point is that because of your career, you should.
As if she's not, like, one of the most, maybe the most famous person in the world. Like, I can't remember if it was a tweet. I feel like it was a tweet that you told me about that was, like, how many times a day do you think of Taylor Swift against your will?
That wasn't me, but that's an incredible tweet.
Because the answer is hundreds, and I'm sorry for all of the listeners that we're making you, you know, partake yet again. But yeah,
there's a really good tweet in your research that was like, I don't care either way about Taylor Swift, I'm Taylor neutral, like, and that makes me the best person on the internet. And I was thinking about it, I was like, I was very much that person until I started reading this research, and it really riled me up. And I was like, no, I think we are right to expect more from her. Like, she has got so much power and she actively seeks more. It's not like she's got this role as a celebrity and she shies away from it. Like, she's always gone on fucking massive real tours, winning a Grammy and announcing an album, like, being on, like, I'm not saying she doesn't deserve to have a life, but she actively is seeking out more power and more limelight. So why isn't she using that spotlight for good?
Yeah, that's true. And there's been other things, like, obviously, most recently is the Super Bowl and the silence on Palestine. But then people also got annoyed at her at the Grammys on a more lighter note, because she is just, like, toting Lana Del Rey around like she has a handbag or something. Like, have you seen the video where she's like, where's Lana? She's really nervous. And it's just, like, giving such weird mean girl energy. And then she drags Lana Del Rey on stage for Album of the Year, even though Lana was also up in that category and lost to Taylor Swift, which, like, I would be mortified and literally slap my friend around the face if they did that to me.
Well, I won't then. I'll cancel that plan.
And then she also ignored Celine Dion, which obviously everyone is saying is extremely rude, especially as Celine Dion she's sick, right?
Yeah, she's got locked-in syndrome.
Yeah, she's sick. She made a big effort to go present that award, and she's a legend, and she got ignored. And then there was, like, a hastily PR moment where they were hugging backstage.
Yeah, everyone quick, get a pic, she's hugging Celine.
Yeah, and last but not least, and we're not going to go into it too much because I just feel like it's too much of a rabbit hole for us to even open up. There was, like, a New York Times op-ed that explicitly said that Taylor Swift was queer, and, like, kind of, like, decrying her for being, like, so deep in the closet that she'll never get out. And then everyone was like, this is an insane projection. Like, a lot of people read into Taylor Swift lyrics and, like, doesn't she have a thing called, like, lavender something? And, like, everyone was...
It's like, you're gay. It's so fan fiction universe, isn't it? Like, you just project whatever you want onto a celebrity. And I think the thing with Taylor Swift, and it says this in your research, is, like, she's such, like, a monoculture. Like, she hasn't... act, like, nobody really knows what her personality is like. Nobody really knows, like, what her beliefs are. The only thing we know a lot about is her romantic relationships, which she's very vulnerable about. And she kind of offers that up instead of having to have, like, a, not a personality, that's mean, but of having to, like, give us, like, this crucial information that makes up what a woman is, makes up what a person is.
And I would say, allegedly, we have heard very mixed things about Taylor Swift from people that have had contact with Taylor Swift herself.
Yeah, and her gayness.
I was speaking to her character, but sure. So there's this really good essay in the New Statesman, but also the New Statesman seemed to kind of have like a axe to bear. Is that the thing?
Cross to bear, axe to grind. Go on.
Oh, if Bridget's listens to this, she's going to shout at me so much for getting so many metaphors wrong.
Why?
Anyway, because she's always like, in my Guardian piece, she's like, it's the lion's share, not the lion's share. I was like, well, I don't know.
Look, at the end of the day, I'm just a cute girl.
You're like, just getting, you still know what I mean.
Yeah, it's called a colloquialism. Look it up. Language grows, language changes.
But I would say that the New Statesman do have an axe to grind because they do release like an essay every few months about how Taylor Swift is fucking terrible.
Is it the same writer?
I don't think it's the same
writer. I'd love if it was. One, it must be the same editor.
This one was good. Taylor Swift's Triumphant Incoherence by Finn McRedman for the New Statesman. It opens with a zinger of a first line. Taylor Swift is where America exercises its delusions.
Oh.
Are you just laughing at me saying zinger?
Yeah.
It's a zinger.
But then it was a zinger, so I let out a loo.
In 2016, neo-Nazis claimed her as one of their own. Swift, an Aryan goddess with subliminal far-right beliefs encoded in her music. In 2024, meanwhile, the New York Times subjected her to a sprawling 5,000-word essay hypothesizing she is secretly gay. The article contending that she was perhaps stuck in the shadowy, solitary recesses of the closet was published in spite of Swift's public statement in 2019 that she was not part of the LGBTQ community. Remembering this, the anti-Swift mania that gripped the Make America Great Again conservatives for weeks now is hardly surprising. A flurry of accusations emerged. Swift is a Pentagon asset conspiring with the Democrats to deliver electoral victory to Joe Biden. She and her boyfriend, the American football star Travis Kelce, are an artificial propped up couple, at least according to former Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy. I'm sorry if I said that wrong. So pernicious. Pernicious? How do you say that word?
What is it?
How do you say pernicious or pernicious?
Let's spell it out.
P-E-R-N-I-C-I-O-U-S.
Don't know. Someone will let us know, though.
Anyway, that's a big word. We are clever, but, like, there's no point in using big words in your article.
But wait,
journalists can't understand it. So, something is her influence. That Donald Trump's camp is prepared to wage holy war on Swift. That her boyfriend's team, the Kansas City Chiefs, won the Super Bowl last night, has done nothing to dispel these notions. This thinking is in the DNA of conspiratorial American right. Pizzagate, the Great Replacement, a stolen election, and now a rigged fairy tale Super Bowl win. Swift, to them, is prejudice confirming, evidence of a malevolent higher power, a state much deeper than it appears.
It's pernicious.
It goes on to say, pernicious.
Yeah.
She seems uniquely vulnerable to these paroxysms. Of madness. No one is suggesting that Beyonce is a Democrat psyop. There are obvious reasons stipulated endlessly by the pundit class desperate to reckon with the politics of Swift. She is more famous than her contemporaries under constant media exposure. And the longer she sits at the zeitgeist, more opinions, swivel-eyed or sane, will form around her. She wields genuine cultural power. Estimated in 2023 to have driven 30,000 voter registrations with a single Instagram post, she could be the GOP dream, a pretty blonde country star with an American footballer as a boyfriend and middle America wrapped around her finger. These are the aesthetics of a small town Republican. To her political enemies, it must feel like betrayal. I mean, that's kind of that. It kind of does explain the Beyonce point without ever saying as much. Like, a couple of these articles are saying, like, Swift is America herself. Like, and it's true because she is white. She is skinny, she is blonde, she is beautiful, and she dresses badly.
What a singer.
Sorry. like anyone can project their beliefs, and like that's why. But I think Beyonce does leave less ambiguity, like purposeful ambiguity. She does in many other ways. Like there's a really good essay about talking, like that a black woman writer wrote about kind of the hollowness of Renaissance, and that's not really like our space to speak upon. But I think a lot of the reason why Taylor Swift can become this monoculture is due to her whiteness, and there's like no real getting away from that.
Yeah, therefore, like she can be projected on by the left and the right because she can be emblematic of both movements, because at the end of the day, a lot of the core beliefs of both sides come from whiteness, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah, and a lot of like prejudices and a lot of like everything else. And it was really interesting. Part of the research was saying Trump kind of flipped the script. He's a great abnormalizer. This is by Taylor Swift, Trump and the Right's Abnormality Problem by Ross Duttat for the New York Times. It says Trump himself is a great abnormalizer, but so are the various fixations and follies that take shape in his wake, like the very online right's bizarre reaction to the romance between Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, a love story that's united the two remaining pillars of our common culture, the National Football League and Wild Swift herself. And then it goes on to say, like, the cultural valence of the Swift-Kelce romance isn't just normal and wholesome and mainstream in a way that conservatism shouldn't want to be defined against. It's normal and wholesome and mainstream in an explicitly conservative coded way, offering up the kind of romantic iconography that much of the online right supposedly wants to encourage and support. Like, they are literally like the high school couple or whatever. But it was also saying that in the after the 2016 election, things kind of flipped on their head. So the right became more like conspiracy theory. Here it is. I'll read it out because it will sound better. There are two key reasons for this self-defeating weirdness, both of them downstream from Trump's 2016 victory. The first is the realignment that I've discussed a few times before, where the ideological shifts of the Trump era made the right more welcoming to all manner of outsider narratives and fringe beliefs, including previously left-coded ones like vaccine skepticism, while the left became much more dutifully establishmentarian.
Yeah.
I agree.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Like, we see that, like, the left is, like, a lot more interested in, like, labels and in, like, moral purity and in, like, all of those kind of things and, like, leading a life that is pure and, like, I'm very left-wing, by the way. Like, I'm not excusing, like, we're not red scare girlies. We're not about to flip on everyone. But I think, again, it just asserts why people can just, like, project onto her, because, like, she can still be left-leaning or, like, project a left-leaning guys, and her left-leaning fans will kind of gobble it up because they have more authoritarian views than they think they do.
Yeah, they fill in the blanks for her. Like, so much of her career is people just filling in the blanks for her, being like, oh, well, she liked this tweet, she went to this comedy night, that means that she's secretly saying this. Like, she's spent so much of her album rollouts over the years putting in, like, secret hidden detail to make a fan base that seeks out secret hidden details in everything she does, so she never explicitly has to do anything.
But then some people are saying that this like is what's going to be her downfall, because the reason why we decided to do this episode now was because there seemed to be like a stack of things that made people not like Taylor Swift. Like, it was the Super Bowl, it was the fact that she sent a cease and desist to a college student that was tracking her private jet because she like guzzles out so many emissions per year and takes like a 12-minute flight. It was the Celine Dion thing. It was like her ex wearing an Artist for Ceasefire badge. It kind of like all stacked and felt like people didn't like Taylor Swift anymore, when usually like the left is quite sympathetic to her, pre-Matty Healy, I would say.
Yeah. There's a really nice bit in one of the researches, which is like, oh, I'm quite it makes me feel quite like an optimist about this new generation of fans that hold like the celebrities to account. Like, even like 5 years ago, like Taylor Swift fans would have just like rabidly, doggedly defended her, like getting the private jet or like ignoring, bringing Lana on stage and stuff, where it kind of feels like even like the most hardcore of Taylor fans are trying to be like, oh, she shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah. And this writer, who is Why Is Everything Suddenly Taylor Swift's Fault, by Jennifer Weiner for the New York Times, is kind of saying that by holding Taylor Swift accountable, they're probably living their lives in a more considered way and like wouldn't necessarily partake, not that we have the ability to get private jets or whatever, but that they hold themselves to the same standards that they're holding their like fave to, which, you know, is hopeful. But yeah, then in back to the New Statesman article of like why this has happened, it kind of mentions how she's like, it says Swift is endlessly contradictory. She has never presented a stable identity to the world. The shape-shifting has an upside for record sales. In this quest to pinpoint the source of her cultural endurance, one argument emerges above all else. Swift, ever the chameleon, turns a rarefied life into songs with universal appeal. She may sing of her girlhood in Pennsylvania, but she speaks to a feeling of adolescent and general angst in America. A lost scarf may be the motif of Swift's greatest heartbreak, but every young woman mourns something just as mundane. No matter what Swift does, she is a conduit for listeners' own psychological preoccupations.
That's what I mean. Like, she's never given us any. She's just like a projection of so many different things. Like, but when you get like down to the bottom of it, like, she, we don't know anything about her. We don't know anything about what she believes. And we also, I'm angry with her for not giving us anything. Like,
I'm angry for
her. I'm angry with her. I wasn't before. Now I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'll stop singing Love Story on karaoke now. Because you've pissed me off, Taylor Swift. You've pissed me right off.
I think also what propelled us to do this episode is that, like, I feel the Travis Kelce romance has, and Trump's interest in her, like he said that she's betraying him if she doesn't endorse him.
Yeah, it's like betraying Biden. All the men who have gotten her to where she is, which is like insane.
And apparently Biden is like secretly courting an endorsement. And I feel like this amount of exposure for her, as opposed to like the Matty Healy romance or the Jake Gyllenhaal stuff or like the 10-minute version or whatever, has like propelled her into such a different level of fame. Like, in my group chat, my mum is sending Taylor Swift memes all the time.
I think this was always her trajectory, though. This is like always where she wanted to be, because she's always sought out mega, mega fame. Mega, mega fame.
Yeah. And that's the thing. So, like, even though on the one hand, alt-right people are projecting this, like, far-fetched, obviously totally untrue conspiracy theory that her relationship is a psyop for the Democrats or whatever, on the other hand, like, other people can then be like, no, oh my God, that's so misogynist. She's a badass feminist.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it really pushes people to both the extremes, which is something else this article said. Jonathan Haidt suggests that sometime between 2011 and 2015, a great split in the United States revealed itself. The campus-born, identity-obsessed left on the one side, the MAGA new right on the other. A decade on, there exists a Democrat party from between the progressive extreme and the moderate center and the right, fully captured by the drain-the-swamp virtues of Trumpism. Taylor is tugged between these poles, not as her own person, but as a vector for America's existential angst. It is easily done to an artist without a robust persona. But she's done it to herself. That's the thing. Like, she's put herself in this position and she reaps the benefits as much as she has to deal with the consequences.
Yeah, but I don't have sympathy for her at the end of the day. I've lost my sympathy for her.
What was your sympathy before?
I don't know, I was kind of like, wow, must be hard. Must be hard being pulled in all these directions. Like,
I think the interesting thing as well is that she does seem to do some like good things. Like, she pays her staff really well and she gives them like incredible bonuses. One of this article says, like, she put all the profits from her Eras tour back to the people that worked on it. Like, she does do some good things.
Yeah, but it's like on a those around her basis, not necessarily like a wider, her wider audience that she could utilize to make much bigger changes in the world.
I think we will never know her heart.
And also, we will never know her heart. That is true. But, like, she made so much money off that tour, like, in the billions, I think. And then she gave, like, all the staff, like, 100k bonuses. Like, that's like me giving everyone a tenner.
I think also it just speaks to, like, kind of how depressing the celebrity and musical landscape is right now, that, like, such a huge person can become a signifier of culture itself is pretty, like, damning for culture itself, that we, like, the kids aren't liking, well, I'm sure they are, like, I don't want to be old man shakes fist at cloud, but, like, the fact that so much of our attention can be placed on one person and that she captures the attention of so many different groups of people, I think is, like, something we haven't really seen in our lifetime or since our adult lifetime.
Yeah, well, it's like, I suppose it always used to be boy bands, didn't it? And now it's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so great. I love feminism and I love women.
What else did you have in your notes?
There's a really good bit where someone's like, it was a really nice quote where someone said, an ethical billionaire is a contradiction in terms. And I like that. I like that a lot. I wrote that down, jotted that down. And I was talking to you about the, like, she also has a history of, like, seeking out money, like, and going for, like the her suing the person with the private jet isn't new. Like, there was a time when she sued, like, mm-hmm. half of Etsy.
Yeah.
I don't have, like, the official statistics. I am exaggerating a little bit. But I think it was, like, when 1989 came out and she, like, did, like, a clean sweep with, like, all her copyrights that she'd put in for the album and, like, was, like, targeted, like, girls making bath bombs that were called, like, I'm Feeling 22, like, sending them cease and desist and shit. And it's like, these women are probably doing that as a side hobby, like, as a hustle,
mm-hmm.
alongside working, like, whatever job they've got. You're literally, like, probably one of those people who makes, like, over £100,000 a minute just by farting about. Like, mm-hmm. why is she so, like, doggedly, like, protective over her output if she is, like, a man of the people?
Yeah, it's true. And I feel like it's hateful of the, like, young girls that literally, like, defend to the end of days.
Yeah, I saw someone like on the jet thing, people are being like, well, she needs to, she's at that level of celebrity now, she lends her jet out to her mates. Yeah, like,
it's a privacy concern.
She lends her jet out to her mates, like, you don't know the full story. I'm like, well, neither do you, like. All I've got is the statistics. And the statistics aren't great, John. So I'm going to form an opinion based on that. You can form an opinion on, like, this fucking made up personality you've made for this global superstar who's also a billionaire, who's never told you anything about herself in her life, apart from that she is sad about breakups, which we all are.
Mm. Yeah, I think she gets, like, a lot of grace compared to anyone else.
Yeah, definitely. And it's the same as, like, what happened with Nikki, like, it's because she's created this legion of fans who are so protective of her that she doesn't even have to protect herself.
Yeah,
like, these celebrities can just have utilized fandom so well that they can just exist within their own spheres and say literally whatever the fuck they want,
which, if you're Taylor Swift, is nothing. Yeah,
or say absolutely nothing at all and just be protected by it, because you don't even have to deal with the aftermath of what you are doing or not doing, because you've got these hundreds of thousands of teenage women and gay boys who of the queer community who will protect her, who will be in the trenches. Like, I don't know, I think, like, fan, it's important to talk about fan culture when we're talking about Taylor Swift, because she utilizes it so expertly for someone who hasn't really, as all these articles have pointed out, given the public a solid persona of who she is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if she's got a dry humour, I don't know if she loves slapstick, I don't know what her favourite meal is, I don't know, like, do you know what I mean? Like, you don't know anything about, even outside of the political stuff, like, I don't know diddly shit about her, apart from that
What's yours, that you love slapstick?
I love both. I've got a very dry sense of humour. I'm just a funny girl. I love Italian food and Japanese food.
I mean, we know she likes cats.
Well, exactly. Like, how fucking milquetoast can you be to be like, you've based your personality around having two cats? Like, we get it. We are both cat lovers, but there's so much more to a girl than your breakups and you've got a cat with blue eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Thanks.
I mean, I think that, but I think on the fandom thing, that gives people more of an opportunity to love her, because, like, if you're comparing her to Nikki, who, like, has said abhorrent things, then that's a turn off for people. Whereas, like, if you provide a sense of mystery, then more people can, again, what you've said already, just project themselves onto you.
Yeah. It's just so, like, and I don't know if I necessarily believe that celebrities shouldn't be mysterious, but when it gets to the point that you are the most famous person in the world and you have set that up for yourself, yeah, I think you do owe the people. I expect action from you. I expect you to do something to change the world, even if you're doing it fucking... If she went full hog pro-Trump, I'd be like, you know what? Fine. Like, at least she's, like, picked a fucking side. You know what? There's nothing worse than a fence sitter.
It's true. Well, with that, let's wrap up.
Goodbye, Ione.
Thank you, Gina.
Sing it back. Thank
you, Olivia, for editing. I'm not singing.
Oh.
Thank you to everyone for listening. We will see you next week.
Bye, I love you.
Bye, I love you, love you, bye.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.